Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. Today we'll be bringing you the voices of laid-off workers as they spoke out at a rally in Bangor on Tuesday, January 22nd. Because we're not currently broadcasting at full power, we plan to rerun this program next Thursday, the 31st, at the same time. But before we go to our feature story, we have these updates. The Peninsula Peace and Justice Group will present a film of a talk called The Chain of Retaliation by Johan Galtung this evening at 7 at the St. Francis Episcopal Church in Blue Hill. Following the events of September 11th, Dr. Galtung prepared a text entitled The United States, the West, and the Rest of the World, in which he presented a diagnosis, prognosis, and therapy analysis. In a talk that was broadcast on Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, Galtung pondered the questions of globalization and what it means to be the leader of the free world. He presents six steps that the United States and world community could take in response to the terrorist attacks and a five-point plan for Afghanistan. Johan Galtung was born in Oslo, Norway, and founded the International Peace Research Institute in Oslo in 1959. He is also founder, in 1964, of the Journal of Peace Research and of Transcend, a global network of experts in conflict analysis who conduct field studies in various trouble spots. He has published more than 50 books on futures relevant topics and peace studies and has served as professor of peace studies at the University of Hawaii and other institutions. A discussion will follow the film. All are welcome. And for more information, you can call 326-4405. Also, the Maine Poetry and Story Exchange extends a warm invitation to the first Winter 2002 Elder Fire, Listening for Generational Wisdom, with principal reader Sherry Mitchell of the Penobscot Nation coming home for her first public reading on ancestral ground, and Jacques Furland of Quebec and Maine, a historian and working class poet, reading from both French and English sensibilities, introduced by Maine author and poet Patricia Ranzoni, and followed by an invitation to the elders to join in conversation. And that will be held on Sunday evening, January 27th, from 6 to 8, at the Esterbrook Lounge at UMO.
Close to 100 people rallied outside the federal building in Bangor this past Tuesday to bring attention to the situation laid-off workers in Maine are in and to ask for adequate help, primarily with health insurance costs that they cannot keep up with. Recently, factory closures in Maine have resulted in a large number of jobs lost in the Bangor area. Dexter Shoe terminated 560 workers, Saucony Shoe 110, Jordan Meats 104, and International Papers Costigan and Passadumkeag Mills 300. Laid-off workers from these plants, as well as members of the Teamsters, Food and Commercial Workers, Electrical and Pipe Workers Unions, were among those attending the rally. According to the Greater Bangor Area Central Labor Council, when Congress reconvenes on January 23rd, they will have before them legislation that could give affected families affordable health insurance and increased unemployment benefits. Maine Senators Snow and Collins are sponsoring a dueling bill, which the council says gives 77% of its benefits to corporations and the very wealthy. These bill proposals are different angles on the so-called economic stimulus package. Health care is the largest concern for laid-off workers who have found they cannot keep up with insurance premiums, even under the COBRA program, Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act of 1985, which allows for the continuation of an employer's health insurance coverage for up to 18 months after job termination. The laid-off worker is responsible for the entire premium, a burden workers on unemployment cannot afford. Former Dexter Shoe employees are required to pay $530 a month to keep health insurance for their families. For Saucony, it's $700 a month. For Passadumkeag and Costigan, it's $800 a month. The economic stimulus bill the rallying workers support is one proposed by the Senate Finance Committee. Their package would ask unemployed workers to pay 25% of their COBRA premium and would have insurance companies be reimbursed by the federal government for the remainder. The bill would also include 13 additional weeks of unemployment, increased Medicaid funds, and an increase of workers' unemployment benefits by 15% or $25, whichever is greater. In the bill currently supported by Collins and Snow, laid-off workers would be responsible for paying 100% of the COBRA premium up front, applying for a voucher to then submit to the federal government for partial reimbursement. The prepaying and waiting is something the laid-off workers say they cannot afford. asking who will speak for them when the corporations have abandoned them, workers at Tuesday's rally publicly shared the stories of their reality and then presented petitions to the staff at Senators Snow and Collins' offices. Here is coverage of the rally.
Yeah, it's fantastic everybody's here. This is tremendous on such a cold day. And I think us coming together really proves that we can make a difference when we stand together. Now, there's a lot of folks here who have lost their jobs. They had their corporation send their jobs overseas. Some had their company downsized them. And I think us standing here right now shows that we're not going to be quiet about it, are we? We're going to let Senators Collins and Snow that we're not going to be misled by what they tell us. And I think the most important thing is they want to keep us quiet, but more important than that is they want to keep us divided. And are we going to let them divide us?
No!
And I want to have a round of applause for the people who are standing up and sharing with us what the reality is. Now, to tell you what we're going to do, we're first going to do a chant, which Roxanne's going to lead. And next we're going to do a skip, demonstrating what's been going on in Washington, D.C. Then we're going to have some people talk about the reality. And after that, we're going to take the petitions. We had over 300 people have signed these petitions, and we're going to deliver them to Senator Collins and up the hill to Senator Snow. At this point, I'll turn it over to the Vice President of the Central Labor Council, Roxanne Munksgaard.
Hey, everybody! No more waiting! No more hopes! No more waiting! No more hopes! Laid off working! No more hopes! No more waiting! No more hopes! Laid off workers need help now! Laid off workers need help now! Laid off workers need help now! This is our theatrical group here. We're going to do our little street theater. The year is 2002. Imagine we are in Washington, D.C., just after the September 11th tragedy. It has just been announced that there will be big layoffs at the airline companies and thousands of people will lose their jobs. Airline corporations are in trouble. Thousands of workers are in trouble. Airline corporations need money fast, and thousands of laid off workers need help fast. But wait, we know there's the hoops we gotta jump through to get help. The big bureaucracy hoop. The unemployment office hoop. The U.S. Congress hoop. The federal government hoop. And the insurance company hoop. Who will get help? And how? Wait, here comes the airline corporations. And they're requesting billions of dollars of relief. And whoosh!
The planes are going through the hoops.
They fly through the hoops in record speed, and in about 15 minutes, they get $15 billion! Way to go, corporations! Next, we got Pat McCoy. Pat McCoy, Pat's a laid-off worker from Costigan Mill. He is representing 140,000 laid-off airline workers, and they are requesting quick relief, help to get health insurance, extended unemployment benefit. And what's that? Patty, you trying to get through the...
Help! Help!
Come on, come on!
Let me go!
They can't get through the hoops!
The unemployed worker can't make it through the hoops that the planes went through easily.
Oh, man. And here comes Guy. Where are you, Guy?
Here I am.
Guy Chodzinski. He is representing one laid-off worker, one of the laid-off 1,000 workers in the Bangor, Maine area, maybe from Dexter Shoe, maybe from Saucony Shoe Factory, or Jordan Meats, or Costigan IP Mill, or Pasadunkin IP Mill, or Eastern Fine Paper and Brew, or who knows where. He's looking for health insurance, and he can't get it. As of February 7th, he will have no health insurance. He needs help and he needs it fast. And And what's that? He's trying to get Donald's hands. Guys, come on. Come on, get Donald's hands. Come on. Sorry, bud. You just have to wait. Get in line with everybody else. And wait, and wait, and wait. And the people now are making their voices heard. No more waiting. No more hope. No more waiting. No more hope. No more waiting. No more hopes.
No more waiting. No more hopes.
Today you will hear many stories about people in this area. Please remember that the stories the people tell themselves are the truth. There is no one story that is the same. There is no story that is more important than the other. They are all difficult to tell, but even more difficult to live. Here is my story. I grew up as one of the have-nots of our society. There were seven of us, my parents, three brothers, grandmother, and myself, living on my grandmother's Social Security and check and food stamps. This was not my choice. This is how I survived to become an adult. My guidance counselor in high school told me that she could get me into any college I wanted to go to based on my test scores. I had hope. The oldest of my brothers participated in a carpentry course at the local vocational school. He was unable to get a job in his chosen field and instead ended up working in a poultry processing facility. This was followed by a series of jobs in various shoe factories, garages, and the sardine industry. Having been part of a rather large extended family, I had relatives in several of the industries that were once abundant in Maine: poultry, pulp, sardines, dairy farming, and shoes. These jobs were generally nearly steady, unlike blueberry and Christmas tree wreath industries, which were and are seasonal. I've worked in the wreath industry to some extent on and off since the age of 9. I still do. It lasts for about 6 weeks. I have helped with the loading of 4-foot pulpwood onto a pickup truck so that the family would have money for the necessities such as food and electricity. I have cleaned out a cow barn. I have packed sardines for 10 years. I worked in the shoe industry for 5, but I never worked in the poultry industry. It was already gone. 1 week after graduating from high school, I started my first official real job. I worked at a home for the mentally handicapped. This job ended 2 years later. I was unemployed for 36 days. I went to work at a sardine factory. It's piecework and you're paid what you're worth. I made good money, but I couldn't count on being there all the time. Sometimes we worked 40 hours a week. Sometimes we worked 3 to 5 hours a day. Upon rare occasions, we had an entire month off. You can't plan for anything. You can't count on anything. And we had no health insurance. Later on, we got health insurance, and it cost $55 a week to add my husband. I didn't. When I started working at Saucony, I was working for a temporary employment agency. They offered me health benefits. I added my husband. Now, I'm 35, unemployed, soon to have no insurance. It costs me $399 a month for my prescriptions alone. I can't afford what the company wants for insurance. It's over $700 a month. It's $180 a week. We get $331 unemployment. What happens next? Good question.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey! Maria Kingsbury, and I'm from Dixmont.
To whom do we owe this feeling of dread and hostility that incarcerates us all? A foolish question, you say? Tell that to the thousands of workers in the Bangor area that no longer have a job, and you might receive a response not to your liking. Do the remaining jobs in the Bangor area offer a livable wage, affordable medical benefits, or for that matter, anywhere near 40 hours work? Sadly, the answer is in nearly every case is no. What a symbol of pride you, the American worker, has been over the years. Your ingenuity, your expertise are what stories have been written about. On the back of many a proud worker and out of your hard-earned taxes, many a foreign aid program or rebuilding project for some disadvantaged country has been funded. So here we are today. You, the workers that are the very base of our existence as a country, are being thrown scraps. Scraps that have most, if not all, substance torn away. To now be considered disposable by the very country we so dearly love is at best intolerable. It is quite evident that the Republican members of our delegation, Senator Collins and Snow, have shortchanged the state of Maine and its people. Their centrist bill before the Senate is at best a charade. Within weeks after the tragedy of 9/11, Congress passed a $15 billion bailout of the airline industry, but nothing, and I say nothing, for the 140,000 laid-off airline personnel. It is clear that the golden parachutes have been packed and distributed to the CEOs. The safety nets for we, the workers, have yet to be made. Have Collins and Snow been away from their constituents for so long that they know they don't have a clue? Maybe they have simply lost their real-time perspective while living the high life of Washington. Reality needs to sink in, and real soon. Workers' COBRA insurance payments are running between $500 and $900 a month. What good is the paltry $350 per month offered in the centrist bill? No good. No good whatsoever. Thousands of families have had little to nothing for Christmas. Their homes are colder than normal, and their meals are smaller and further apart than years past. These workers are having the very essence of their soul torn away by an unabashed administration and their colleagues. Senators, how about some real help rather than more of your infamous political rhetoric and photo ops? I'd like to close by saying, if you hear anything at all of what I said here today, please speak up, let people know what you want, let them know how you feel, because if you don't, you forfeit your right to bitch later on. Let them know. Let them know how you feel. Let them know that they're not doing their job. Let them know you still have a voice. Thanks.
What's your name? Where are you from, my friend?
Pat McCoy, Costigan Facility.
It's Pat McCoy from Costigan.
Serve the needy, not the greedy!
I would like to turn the microphone over to Jeanette Seeger to share with us her experience. And let's have a round of applause for Jeanette.
Yay!
Both of my medical benefits. With my husband and I being on...
It's Jeanette Seeger, laid off worker.
Medication, three or four different ones, and the cost of those out of pocket is astronomical. It's not something I can come up with just like that. And with my unemployment benefits, to pay our to pay just our household bills as well as paying for medical bills is just, it's not doable. We can't do it. And I'm hoping that Senator Snow and Senator Collins will hear this plea that we do need help. And the only place we have to turn to is our government, and I hope that they're going to stand behind us and help us in this fight that we're facing.
Yeah. What do we want?
Health insurance!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Health insurance!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Health insurance!
When do we want it?
Now!
Hey, what do we say? We want help right away!
Hey, what do we say? We want help right away!
Great. Well, right now we're going to deliver our petitions. We had well over 300 people sign petitions. 98% of the people we talked to in Bangor and Dexter and surrounding communities signed the petitions. This is proof that what we're talking about is what people want. It's what the majority wants. We don't like to see people who have to choose between health care, their medications, and food. It's wrong. It should stop. It's not necessary in the richest country in the world. And it's by far the majority. We need our elected representatives to hear what we're talking about and listen to this petition. Jim, a laid-off worker from Saucony, are you going to, which senator are you going to? Senator Collins?
Yes.
Okay, Jim's going to go up to Senator Collins. If folks want to join him as he goes to Senator Collins' office to deliver the petitions, and Juanita's going to go to Senator Snow. She's up the hill. So if we're going to have another group of people, join Juanita as we go up to deliver these petitions. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. So thanks a lot for coming out. Please head on up. This is a great event. It shows what we can do when we stand together. All right.
We have Juanita Prescott, a laid-off Saucony shoe worker, with us. And Juanita, you were one of the people who led the contingent of people who presented the petition to Snow's office.
Yes.
After the rally, right?
Yes.
How many signatures were on the petition?
I think there was over 300.
Okay, and the petition is asking for emergency support and including assistance with health insurance for laid-off workers in Maine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How did the staff at Snow's office respond?
Well, Snow wasn't there, and I talked to her secretary, and then I talked to the guy, Mark, and they were really helpful. They said they would do whatever they could to help us, and they were going to send the paperwork to Washington, and, you know, and they took down what everybody said.
So several people who went with you
yes.
Made statements?
Yes. There was, I think, five women and two men.
Okay. And did they say anything about getting back to you or any kind of timeline about when they could make this happen if they were going to?
No. Okay. They said we could call in and if, you know, if we had any more. But they didn't say when they would get it in, get it through. Well, we're living on unemployment. My husband and I both are laid off, and that's all we've got. We have no insurance. God forbid if we ever get sick or I have to go to a doctor because we can't afford to go.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Juanita.
Thank you.
And thanks for talking with us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
We have Jim French joining us today by phone. And Jim, you were a Saucony shoe employee?
Yes.
For how long?
Oh, about 18 years.
And you were just recently laid off?
Yes.
Right. You were one of the folks that helped deliver the petition to Senator Collins' office after the rally on Tuesday. How did that go?
Well, we went up to the office and Susan Collins wasn't there, but her secretary was there, and you know, she talked to us and saying that they had to send Susan Collins off to, I guess it was Augusta, about 10:15 that morning, and then I gave her the petitions and wanted her to look at them and have her decision on it, and they said that they was gonna. She's going to give it to her and you know, have her look at it and apparently get back to me and see what the results were and what her decision was.
Did they give you any time frame of when you could expect to be hearing back from the senator?
No.
They didn't. And what is your situation right now? Are you without health insurance?
Well, I still have health insurance until February 10th. After February 10th, I no longer have insurance.
Do you expect that you'll be hearing back from them by that time?
I hope so.
We plan to keep following up with the workers to see if Snow and Collins actually take any action in response to the workers' plight, and we'll keep you posted.
I'm a very worried man. Hungry babies don't understand. Papa is a worried man. The place I used to draw my pay slammed the door on me today and told me just to stay away and don't come back again. I went back home to break the news. My woman saw that I had the blues, but she said the babies need new shoes, and I'm a worried man. Worried man, worried man. I'm a very worried man. Hungry babies don't understand. Papa is a worried man. Well, there is no way that I can see that I can feed my family, 'cause I don't own a money tree and very little land. But I said, Mama, don't you cry, I'll get a job before the day's gone by. I don't know where though, and that is why I'm a worried man. Worried man, worried man. I'm a very worried man. Hungry babies don't understand. Papa is a worried man. Worried man, worried man. I'm a very worried man. Hungry babies don't understand. Papa is a worried man. Worried.
That was Johnny Cash with I'm a Worried Man. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
And I'm Amy Brown.
We'd like to thank Tommy Dean for song recommendation, Joel Mann for engineering, Andy Buckley for web support, and you for listening and acting. You can reach us here at WERU or by emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com. You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on our website, www.freespeech.org/RAN, or at main.indymedia.org. Join us again next Thursday and stay tuned now for Free Speech Radio News, then Democracy Now!